Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Time now for the WEEI Producers Show on WEEI. WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
What's up, brother? This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. It's Scheim and Ryan Garvin with you this morning on a rainy, dismal, gross Saturday. Feels like last summer already, Ryan.
Yeah, baby. You know it. I don't know how I woke up this morning and just it never occurred to my brain like it's Saturday. Get up. You can't just lounge in bed like you normally do, afternoon producer. Get up. Really, it was probably like 7:30. It just clicked. I went, oh, crap. I got to go.
Where's my pants?
Where are there was a, I said, where are my pants? Where are they?
Well, Ryan, it may be rainy and miserable outside, but the city is abuzz. We have two playoff games this weekend. Oh. The Boston Bruins play tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Puck drop for that one's at 8 o'clock. It's Jack Edwards' final series as the play-by-play guy on Nesson for the Boston Bruins.
Yes,
and then tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, which is chef's kiss, by the way, the Boston Celtics will take on the Miami Heat, who won their play-in game last night against the Chicago Bulls. Really kind of gave it, it just handed it to the Bulls. They just Did Tyler Hero end up getting the triple double? When I went to bed, when I went to bed, he had like 23, 10, and 9.
I don't think he did.
Shucks. That would have been pretty cool. It'll be an exciting weekend to kick
24,
off.
24, 10, and 9.
Ah, son of a gun.
We call that the Peyton Pritchard triple-double.
It's true. Except Peyton Pritchard probably would have had like 17 assists because that guy's a machine.
But 9 rebounds.
Yes. So it's exciting right now knowing that there's two playoff teams getting ready to start their series right here in the city of Boston. But all week I felt like the excitement has been palpable for the event coming up in 5 days, 11 hours, 57 minutes, and 33 seconds.
What's that?
Which would be the NFL draft.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Saturday and the draft. Where are my pants?
That sounded
amazing. The draft
amazing.
Is in 5 days.
Yes.
It's tangible. Scheim, you can like reach out and touch the damn thing. It is this week. We have been talking about in really unfounded territory for Patriots fans.
Yeah.
Definitely.
We've been talking about this since before Christmas.
I was going to give it like January, but no, you're right. It was probably after that Colts game in Germany. We're like, all right, where do we slot up in this year's draft? Where is the draft being held?
Tank for Drake May.
Who are we sending out there? Caleb Williams. Interesting. What's he all about? Yeah. This, you're right. There's a lot going on right now. We're finally in a fun period of Boston sports instead of banging our head against the walls with our mock drafts. Yours is great, by the way.
Thank you very much.
You can see that on WEEI.com. We're Cadillac and Scheim and Hart talking football. Got the big draft extravaganza coming up with Keefe 6 to midnight. Yep. It's here.
we're finally going to get some resolution on what has been just a masterclass of poor publicity from the Patriots and Robert Kraft this year. I can't wait. We finally got something real going on. We are finally going to get the answer. Have the Patriots got their crap together, or is it just going to be the SOS, the same old you-know-what? Even though Bill Belichick is gone and living his best life on ESPN, which is not where I saw him
land. Oh, I can't
at all,
wait.
By the way,
his is quick tangent.
Yeah.
His hit with Pat McAfee was awesome.
It was not bad.
He had good personality. Which indicates to me he's excited to do some just some media work, just talk about players, not have to actually worry about coaching them. And his background in that Zoom was the biggest flex of all time. Just six Lombardis
like
behind
ratio.
Him.
I think there was like an SB back there that he won like 05 or something. I turned to someone while that was on, by the way. I can't remember who was sitting next to me. I'm like, you know, that's what he really sounds like.
Yeah.
That's the guy that
that's
I
the normal guy
when the microphones are not on. Like, being engaging. Like, yeah, he didn't say anything, but it was just, it's a different look.
He's never had coffee. He said something.
If you're a Patriots fan, you're like, I never get to see this guy. This guy's kind of fun,
yeah.
You know? And granted, he's got, like, the perfect, like, hype crew. He's got, like, 9 Flava Flaves behind him every time he says something, going, yeah, Belichick, like, Pat McAfee, those guys.
Boston Connor.
Oh, my God, they're going to hype him through the roof.
That'll be fun, though.
This it'll be good for him. Again, like I was just saying, masterclass of just a bad offseason for Robert Kraft between how the dynasty broke for him, what he probably expected it was, and then Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, Jeremy Fowler, who we on Jones and Mego talked to on Wednesday. I think go check that out to get a little more insight on that story. And then just the offseason where, you know, We're going to burn cash, and then, you know, we're not going to burn cash. I was only joking. This is a real opportunity for this team to take a step forward, which is something that has not been prevalent for 4 years. Like, it never felt, Chime, like there was a plan post-Brady. Cam Newton didn't work out. Mac Jones didn't work out. Bill Belichick's gone. Tom Brady's gone. The Patriot way, as we now know it, is in the history books. They've taken down all the slogans, all the banners, all that crap. This is the time for them to finally turn the page, start anew, get the quarterback. At least that's what I'm thinking that they do, because if they turn around and you guys are sitting there at, I don't know, 8 o'clock, 8, 10, you get an early draft pick this year, too. That's exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be wild.
And they turn around and they trade it? I don't know if anything up until this point will be as severe a blow to the image of Robert Kraft and the Patriots if they turn around and they trade this pick.
And I think it
don't take one of these top-end quarterbacks.
I think it's still really up in the air on exactly what they're going to do. Nobody knows. Elliot Wolf spoke this week, and he talked about them being open to trades. We can hear from Elliot Wolf.
Hey.
Yeah, so ongoing. We're open to anything, moving up, moving down. We're open for business in
getting
the first
weird.
Round and in every round. We have some holes we feel like we need to fill in the draft.
Let's swap some keys.
You know, we're a draft and develop team. The more picks we have, the better. But if there's an opportunity to move up and you know, strike, if the board kind of recommends it, then we won't be afraid to pull the trigger on that either.
Yeah, you want to know what Elliot Wolf is telling you? Yeah, we're open to doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you anything. I'm going to tell you we will do all of the options. Trade up, we're in. Trade down, we're in. Draft at 3, we're in.
We
like,
are
son of a bitch,
desperate.
I'm in. It's he is not telling you
that whole
a damn thing.
You could have just shot me.
We're going to take all the options, we're going to spin a wheel and see which one it lands on.
He could have summed that whole thing up in one word. Help! Help!
And
I need help!
I think they are looking for... I think they want better trade offers at 3. I don't think they've gotten exactly what they wanted, which is why you haven't seen a deal with Minnesota get done. And in previous years, you see those big deals get done early. San Francisco moves up to 3 with Miami to get Trey Lance. I think it was... No, it wasn't Miami. I forget who they traded up. Yeah, it was Miami.
Miami
came back up. With Miami to get
Miami
Trey Lance, that deal happened...
Bag for those picks.
That happened a month or plus before the draft. You saw even last year with the Panthers trading up to the Bears. That happens well before the draft. The Patriots have not had that happen yet, which indicates to me Minnesota's offer isn't good enough for them. I bet Minnesota doesn't want to give up quite as much as the Patriots want. And so you're going to get left at draft night with... your hands just kind of out there like, what the hell do I do? and it just it's empty, and you're unsure exactly how to approach it. And I don't know. I have a feeling that they really like one of those two quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels or Drake May, but their feeling is that he's going to get taken number two. And as much as they would like to trade up to get him, they can't because Washington's not moving and Chicago's not moving. And so then they're stuck. And then once that guy goes at number two, they're going to be like, do we just take this other guy we really don't like, or do we trade out and get less than what we had hoped we got?
Help me. Help you.
Help me. Help you. See, that's where I have such disconnect with that kind of thinking, because I look at this roster and go, you guys clearly need a quarterback.
Yeah.
There are three
I agree.
Top-end quarterbacks. If you want to throw J.J. McCarthy in there, fine. I personally think that this is the byproduct of us having to wait 3 months until the draft, is that you start to look around and go, all right, who else is out there?
Ryan, there's now a lot of smoke. Michael Penix is going to be a first-round quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we saw
it's
this,
the QB tax.
The Will Levis thing last year was just like stark raving insanity.
Mel Kiper had him like number three overall, and he didn't go in the first round.
Not at all. And we learned all this crap about Will Levis that we didn't need to learn. And, you know, maybe
Mayo in his coffee.
Maybe he'll have a nice career. I don't know. But the point is, he never should have been in that opportunity to begin with. Kind of embarrassing, too, by the way. It's like, I heard Lou say this on the broadcast last night when he's talking about, you know, players that they can't make the player. They're not what they think they are. And his manager said, listen, Lou, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the scout that talked about you. And that's sort of where it is with, like, Will Levis. That's where it is with Michael Penix or not Bo Nix, but J.J. McCarthy. It's like, no. Don't be mad at J.J. McCarthy for not being the number four guy, for being, like, that far of a drop between the number three guy and the number four guy. Blame all the people that are sitting there with nothing to do but mock draft exercises going, you know, we've been talking about J.J. McCarthy this whole time, and finally the media is trying to catch on. No, it's a three-quarterback race. You've got the number three pick in 5 days, 11 hours, 49 minutes, 9, 8, 7 seconds. To me, it's a no-brainer. If you like Drake May, great, take him if he's there. If you like Jaden Daniels, great, take him if he's there. You should have plans for both of these guys, assuming that you know you're not going to be able to jump up so you can comfortably take the guy that you really like. It would blow my mind if they sat there and go, we're really not crazy about either guy that's here right now. We like him, but we don't love him.
Well,
I don't think you're in a position to be picky right now.
Oh, see, I say, to that degree, I disagree, because I am one of the people, I don't have Jaden Daniels that high. Like, I don't think it's clear cut that he is, like, in the same category as Drake May. To me, it's Caleb Williams, it's Drake May, and then it's a lot of other people. And so for me, I have, personally, Michael Penix around the same as Jaden Daniels. I think, so if you're talking about the draft, it's more beneficial for the Patriots to stick it at three and take a guy like Marvin Harrison or Joe Alt and help your offense a little bit, and then trade back into the second round where San Francisco is at 31 and grab Michael Penix, if he's assuming he would be there. And so, like, I wouldn't use that third pick on Jaden Daniels. So if it goes Caleb Williams, Drake May, I would trade out of number three. I absolutely would. I would trade out, or I would pick a different offensive weapon, because I just don't – I don't see the upside that and don't get me wrong. I could be absolutely wrong. I will admit that. I would say my track record's decent when it comes to the quarterbacks. I'm not going to say I'm perfect. I would – no draft evaluator is perfect. Like, you know, Dan Orlovsky is going to tell you Jaden Daniels is one of the best prospects in the draft. Dan Orlovsky tends to be really wrong. So I just want you to realize that. So for me, I look at Jaden Daniels and I see a guy who wants to throw a deep ball and a guy who likes to run and doesn't do a whole lot in between. He doesn't throw over the middle. He doesn't do a lot of checkdowns. He has very low velocity on his football. People think he throws a great ball. No, he throws a really nice moonshot like he's Russell Wilson. He's just He's a taller, skinnier Russell Wilson from 2011, 2012, whenever Wilson was drafted.
I like Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I do too.
I like the old Russell Wilson.
But Russell Wilson also knew not how to take hits, and Jaden Daniels, like, searches for contact. And a guy that's 6'3", 205, probably plays around 205, 200, even though he weighed in at 210, that's not his actual playing weight, people, is I don't love that. I don't love it. I don't think it's great.
The hit stick.
No. And then again, J.J. McCarthy, not a guy I would take in the top five. Like, if I'm an NFL GM, I'm not taking J.J. McCarthy in the top five. End of the first round? Sure. I'm not taking him in the top five. However, there is a quarterback tax, and so quarterbacks get overdrafted all the time, and that's kind of what it is. But if the Patriots view it like I view it, and Drake May isn't there at three, I would not be shocked if they trade out of that pick. I wouldn't be shocked because you're gaining assets. You can also then, you'll still be in the top 10, 11 somewhere so that you can still get a blue chip player to help you on the offense, whether it's a receiver or a tackle. And then you can take your quarterback back into the first round. If you have 23 from the Vikings, you can take him there. If you get other assets from a team like the Giants or something, you can trade up from 35, 36 and back into the first round to get a guy so that you have the extra year on the contract. It's just, I wouldn't be shocked. I think that is very much still in play for them.
So just to recap that, if Drake May is available at number three, take him.
You run the card up to the draft board.
You take him. If Jaden Daniels is there, you're not so keen on him. You would either trade the pick or you would take Marvin Harrison Jr. or Joe Alt.
Correct.
Okay. Just understand, though, like, I get, like, it's thought out.
Yeah.
I still would take Jaden Daniels because I just think that if you take a quarterback and you whiff on him, well, congratulations. You have an opportunity to take another quarterback. I mean, it's not like your team just – it's not game over. You never get to play again. Teams get to go back and get another. And I think that's an aspect that I don't think enough people are willing to wrap their heads around. Like, this can be life for you now, Patriots. The good times are over.
Oh, they are over.
And it's lofty expectations for some people around here to go, well, you can, you know, easily be a playoff team next year if you hit the quarterback. I'm not saying that's impossible, but it sure as hell is not going to happen if you're not surrounding this guy.
And you have to nail the pick.
You have to nail the pick. I agree with some of what you're saying, but again, I don't think they have an opportunity right now to be picky when you need a quarterback, and there's a quarterback readily available for you.
But when you're building,
I still think you can win some games with Jaden Daniels. But again, if Jaden Daniels doesn't work out, Drake May doesn't work out, J.J. McCarthy doesn't work out, you can just go and draft another quarterback. But I just think the class this year is strong enough that you should take a chance on that and just start the process. Start the step forward. Let Jerod Mayo, let Elliott Wolf, let them do this. Let them find their quarterback and figure out if this entire thing that Robert Kraft has now sprung into action, again, I would say 2 years after he should have thought about doing this, see if it can work right now. Because otherwise, I feel like you're just pushing it off and pushing it off and pushing it off, and you're never going to get the opportunity to figure out if this is going to work out.
And so I think it's interesting because I think if it's Robert Kraft making Robert and Jonathan, I just kind of lumped them together. If it's the Krafts making this decision, they're drafting a quarterback at three regardless of who's there. However, if it's Elliott Wolf, I think he is very okay with taking a slower process.
So do I. Do you think Elliott Wolf is determining who the number three pick is?
I don't.
The rest of the draft, hey, go get him, kid. Just like Pops, right? This pick is very important.
But it'll be very telling, at least.
But if you're not willing to give Elliott Wolf the title of general manager, and again, we don't want to have interviews. That's crap. They need to know. They need to know first if Elliott Wolf can do this. But I don't think anything this important, they're just going to leave it up to your first-year coach and your first-year general manager. The Krafts are making this pick.
Yeah, I want to finish this on the other side here. 617-779-7937. What do you think the Patriots are going to do with their number three overall pick? Will they stick it and pick it, or are they going to trade out? Who's kind of in charge? Is it the Krafts, or is it Elliott Wolf? We're going to get to that after Joe Braverman gets you caught up with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Well, the run towards the Stanley Cup begins tonight for the Bruins as they play game one of their first round series with the Maple Leafs. Coach Jim Montgomery still has not revealed who will start at goalie for the Bees, while Toronto coach Sheldon Keefe says it's a possibility that forward William Nylander is in the lineup. Puck drop from TD Garden is set for 8 o'clock tonight. Last night, the Red Sox easily defeated the Pirates in game one of their series from Pittsburgh, 8-1. Your final score, Sox have 4 home runs from Willy Abreu, Tristan Cass, Casas. Those came in the first inning. Rob Refsnyder and Sedan Rafaela. Brian Bello got the win in easily his best start of the season, allowing one hit and striking out seven over six innings pitched. Game two of this three-game set will take place this afternoon. Hall of Famer Joe Castiglione and Lou Maloney have the call from PNC Park at 4:05 on the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford will get the start for the Sox, opposite Mitch Keller for the Bucks. Joe Weil will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 3:05. Mass Mutual Insurance Planning Investments. Celtics now know their playoff fate as the Heat defeated the Bulls 112-91. Setting up an Eastern Conference Finals rematch in the first round between Miami and Boston. Game one from TD Garden will tip off tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Over in the Western Conference, the Pelicans eliminated the Kings 105-98 to advance to the playoffs as the 8th seed. They will face the top-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. And the Revolution hit the road to face Toronto FC tonight at 7:30. The Revs sit at the bottom of the Eastern Conference with 4 points at one win, one draw, and 5 losses. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is the WEEI Producer Show right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Scheim and Garvin with you. We've been talking Patriots draft
with
all morning.
A special dedication to Elliot Wolf out there in Foxborough, thinking of you.
Yep. Needs desperately
help.
Needs some help.
Help. Send help.
Help. I don't know why. Whenever somebody says that, all I can think of is like SpongeBob memes. Just like that's probably my generation and my generation brain, but
there's this like weird intersection, I think, in our industry of like, it's like a Venn diagram of like guys that love pro wrestling and guys that love SpongeBob. And in the middle, it's just like, I work in sports journalism.
SpongeBob is the clear identifier of generation gaps, because if you talk to someone and they know SpongeBob and the SpongeBob memes, they clearly are your age or younger than you. If you talk to someone and they know nothing about SpongeBob and they've never seen it and don't understand the memes, they are older than you. And I can almost guarantee it will work 95% of the time.
Interesting.
Like, hey, Ryan, what were you saying in the break about Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat? Hold on 1 second. What were you saying?
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
Oh, my God.
Yes, excellent. Good pull, Braverman. Thank you.
Is that SpongeBob?
Yeah, it is SpongeBob. Fred the Fish.
What?
Yep, that's
Fred
SpongeBob.
The Fish.
It's in the episode where they're putting on a show at the Krabby Patty or the Krusty Krab, and every time SpongeBob sticks his hands out, everybody gets excited. And every time Squidward comes out, everybody boos. And Squidward did something, and that guy goes, "Oh, brother, this guy stinks."
Oh my goodness,
that's epic! The amount of times I could quote SpongeBob,
I'm not that much older than him.
But you're older than me.
But I guess,
I told you, the clear divide.
I mean, I was aware.
Well, the
of
series
SpongeBob.
Started in 1999, so
exactly, I was 7.
I was 9. That, again, it's not.
I don't know. Maybe it's just I kind of like stopped thinking about it once I like I don't know. You, I guess we were just into different things, and you know, in, yeah, in
I watched a lot.
Well, know the crazy thing, Shime, is I have a friend of mine who got a tattoo on her legs of that moment.
Oh Jesus Christ!
That's tremendous. I like that.
That's troubling.
Well,
seek help.
Well, you want to know? You want to know who the people will be screaming? Oh brother, this guy stinks at. If
Segway,
the Patriots
baby.
Don't take a quarterback at number three,
who that?
Robert Kraft and Elliot Wolf.
Yeah. Oh brother, this guy stinks.
And so it's. It becomes, I think what has happened, the maelstrom that was this past week, too, with Bill going on McAfee, coming off really personable and excited to be part of the media, and then that article by Seth Wickersham, Don Van Natta, and Jeremy Fowler.
Same day, by the way.
All in the same day, which was remarkable.
Oh my God.
Remarkable content. I think all of that almost forces the Crafts even more into taking the quarterback because they need some sort of positive
press. That's great then. You know what? Good job. Whoever put that stuff out there, I thank you. I can't fathom. I could like look, everything that you said in the last segment, Chime, is valid. I get it. There is definite merits to if they don't love the quarterback, then you think about trading out. I get that. But again, I just think the damage you could do to the fan base's psyche, which is fragile because for 20 years they've been walking around as if, you know, they are fans of the greatest thing to ever exist in the universe, and you take it away from them. And
very quickly.
You suffered. Oh, my God. Think of how bad some of those games were. The Dallas game, the Raiders game, getting shut out at home by Derek Carr and the Saints. It was like 16-0 or something in that game. Think about how you suffered, Patriots fans, to get this pick. It's right there in front of you. And then Roger Goodell gets up and grabs that microphone and goes, the New England Patriots have traded back in the draft to the New York Giants. My head would explode. Yes, I understand. If you don't love a quarterback, maybe don't take him. I am just not shallow enough, I guess, or too shallow. Pick one. I see the shiny object. I want the shiny object. I have not backed off of that. Marvin Harrison Jr. would be cool, I guess, if you had a guy who's ready to throw the ball to him. And that's just not something I am willing to do yet. Joe Alt would be great. I don't know if I could get up and face the day if they took a tackle number three overall after the season we sat through. They're great players, blue chip prospects, which just seem desperately, desperately needs. But again, I think it's symbolic of something greater than just, oh, you know, analytics, X's and O's, Jimmy's and Joe's and all that stuff. It is a sign to go, we are taking the next step. Really the first step in the post Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era of New England Patriots football. This is it. This is the signal. Buy your jerseys. Let's go. Here is the guy that you should hopefully feel good about for the next 4 years because the last guy didn't work out so well.
So I know you want a quarterback, so I have to ask this question.
Okay.
If you haven't already, people out there, my final mock draft here on WEEI.com is available. You can go to WEEI.com. Just look for the mock draft. It's right there. So I have a question for you.
Mm.
If the Patriots trade out of three, trade back to number six with the New York Giants, get some more draft capital, and still draft J.J. McCarthy at six so they get the quarterback and then get more picks, how do you feel?
My gut would say I don't feel good about that.
Okay.
Because I have talked myself into a universe where you are looking at either Jaden Daniels or you are looking at Drake May. Or I don't think it's going to happen, but there is this like half a percentage in my brain is like, what if the Bears don't love Caleb Williams? And then.
Yeah, that's not. That's
yeah, but that's
not
why
happening.
I say it's like a half percentage.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
A little
I get
sliver
well,
of hope
and
that
so,
something ridiculous could happen. But those are the guys. Those are the guys that I have been told by the guys who know this stuff. Now, again, we just talked about it in the last segment. I think J.J. McCarthy is a byproduct of, man, we got a lot of time to fill. What else can we talk about?
Yep.
Who's
and,
that?
And
who's
I,
that over there?
He's also a byproduct of the classic Family Guy. Peter, you could have a boat or you could have the mystery box. What's in the mystery box? He hasn't thrown the ball enough for people to know exactly what he is, so he's more like a mystery box. He could be anything. He could be a boat.
Mm. Oh. So I could either have the quarterback or I could have the mystery box.
That could be the quarterback.
And there could be a quarterback in there.
Or could be nothing.
But I need a quarterback.
Yep.
but there could be a quarterback in the mystery box.
I think that's kind of how
quarterback. I'll take the box.
I think that's what the NFL is doing with JJ McCarthy.
Culture.
And so for me, I know Jeremy Fowler. I think he said it on you guys' show that the Patriots have Jaden Daniels number two on their big board currently.
I think you were saying a lot of teams. That's sort of how it's all stacked up.
I hear that, and I also hear that Jaden Daniels isn't quite as high on a lot of boards, especially the New England Patriots. I believe that their board looks more like Caleb Williams, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, Michael Penix than Jaden Daniels. And I know that's not very exciting to some people. That's how I see it. That's how I have interpreted it. And so for me, I think they would be comfortable with moving down. But it'll be interesting to see what they do come draft night. It's only 5 days away.
Or the mystery box.
What, are you crazy? We'll take the boat.
No, not so fast, Lois. A boat's a boat, but the mystery box could be anything.
It could even be a quarterback.
It could be a boat. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the New England Patriots' upcoming NFL draft. But, Ryan, there's more important things that need to be discussed here because we have two teams beginning playoff series in this city this weekend. That would be your Boston Bruins begin tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Boston Celtics begin tomorrow against the Miami Heat. So, Ryan, here's
the Red Sox are like, yes. Oh, thank God people are going to stop watching us for a couple of weeks.
Little choose-your-own-adventure.
Yeah.
Where would you like to begin, Celtics or Bruins?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'll get my Bruins thoughts out of the way first.
Yeah, because you want to go in on the Heat. I get you.
Well, I feel like I'm losing something with this Heat series, and I can't quite put my finger on it. I am very, very interested to see what this goalie rotation shapes out to be, if they even do that. Now, I guess Jim Montgomery met with media, I think, yesterday and said, oh, we know who our goalie is going to be, which is good. I'm happy you guys have figured out.
Sweeney even said it 2 days ago. They know exactly what they're doing in that locker room.
There's
so that's
one
good.
Tiny problem, though. We don't know.
And you know what? That's okay. I don't play for the team. I'm going to be sitting on my butt watching hockey and basketball. I don't need to be involved in that decision. It's totally fine. You guys figure out what you're going to do. But as far as how this breaks down, I'm so curious to see, because I want to know how likely they are to stick to the plan that they've really embraced for the last two seasons.
Yeah.
I am not a huge fan of this team. I have a lot of issues with how last season ended. I've just never been like crazy about the brass. I think Don Sweeney has done a good job. I think he's one of the best in hockey when it comes to trade deadline acquisitions. But overall, I think this group of front office and core players has led you to one championship and two finals appearances and a lot of disappointment. So, all that being said, like, I am just not, like, in love with the players on the team. I like Brad Marchand. I don't love Brad Marchand.
He struggled a little bit in the second half of the season.
I like David Pastrnak. I don't love David Pastrnak. I like the goalies. I don't love the goalies. So I am very interested to see if the Bruins can go into a series with a team that has been the proverbial fly as you have been the windshield year after year after year in the Toronto Maple Leafs. Like, I think this is a good litmus test of...
Litmus.
I always make the mistake.
It's okay.
It's a good gauge. Haha. If they are ready, again, to take the next step, which seems to be a common theme with me. Now, what I'm curious about also is if you start Linus Ullmark in game one. Okay, cool. What do you do if he gets shelled? You were going to go to Jeremy Swayman anyways, right?
Yep.
Okay, game two. What do you do if they lose like a tight game and he ends up, you know, looking really, really good, but it's a fluky goal that's not really his fault? Like, you present yourself with a lot of problems that I don't think any of these other playoff teams are going through, where you could have Ullmark look amazing in a loss. And you're going to come off of him because we have this plan of, well, Jeremy Swayman's the guy for game two. We've decided this. He's going to go 1-3-5, and he's going to go 2-4-6.
It's a conundrum. It puts him in a weird spot.
So that's what I'm saying. I'm really, and I don't know how you feel about it, but I really cannot wait to see how they approach this, how they manage this, because they deviated completely from what they were doing last year. And I think it's a major reason why they ended up losing to Florida.
Yeah, I am. It's weird. I may sound like I'm on the fence, but I am of the opinion I don't give an F. Which direction? No, my thought is that I don't care which one they choose. I just simply need them to make a choice, right? It is the process of actually deciding exactly what you're going to do and committing to it. Mm-hmm. But if you want to go one goalie, if you want to start Swayman or you want to start Ullmark, I would start Swayman over Ullmark. But if you want to start one guy and he's your guy for the series, unless things really start to go down the drain, then it's like, okay, we need to pull the plug and bring the other guy in. That's fine. If you want to pick one guy and go with it, go for it. If you want to stick to the rotation, because that has worked the entire regular season, almost an exact 50-50 split. I think Swayman played 44. Ullmark played 40 games. No, that's 84. Something like that. It was almost an exact 50-50 split. If you want to go rotation every other night, it has to be every other night, though. Commit to it and go for it. I'm okay with that. But you have to choose. You cannot sit on a fence. You cannot be wishy-washy about this. You have to be committed to your decision, because then if you're not committed, the chaos that ensues is awful for your locker room and your team. And so I don't really care either way. I love Swayman. I prefer Swayman over Linus, but I also think that the goalie rotation has worked. There is evidence, not in the playoffs, but in the regular season.
In the regular season,
that it has worked flawlessly.
Swayman started 43 games. Linus started 39.
I think there's more benefits for the goalies if you maintain the rotation. I think they get less overworked. They're more rested. It's a certain rhythm for them, but I understand if you want to just go with one guy. So, like, I know I'm kind of Glenn Ordwaying this and just sitting on the fence. But for me,
I want everybody to go out there and have a good time.
For me, it's more important about just making the decision and being committed to it.
Look, if they turn around and rode one goalie like they did last year, I'd be like, what was the point? What was the point of everything that you did leading up to this?
Yeah,
because I think that there is something to be said about what that decision last year did to Jeremy Swayman. Like, okay, fine. We've both been really, really good, but you're going to go with him. Why? Because he makes more money than me? Because he's got slightly better numbers than I do? And then what happens? Linus Ullmark breaks down, and you got to go to Jeremy Swayman late when he's been sitting there on the bench the whole time being like, this isn't what we agreed on. This isn't what we planned on doing. Nothing. I cannot wait to see what they do, Shime. If they turned around and were like, we are going with one goalie, I don't know how I would handle that in real time. It wouldn't make sense. You have something that has worked for you so far, and you're going to just change it now because it's playoff hockey, and playoff hockey is so different. Like, no. Stick, what's the expression? You go with the girl that you brought to the dance or whatever.
Dance with who brought you.
Dance with who brought you. Thank you. That would make more sense. You don't have a reason right now to back off of it. I think I'm starting to talk myself more and more, and I'm going to be annoyed if they're like, "All right, it's Linus Ullmark until further notice."
But then you hear people like Razor, who have played the sport, literally played in a playoff game, and exactly, what does he know? But he has outright said, he said it on Gresham Fourier, that he is against their goalie rotation, and so it's weird. It puts you in a very... And then we had Sofia Yurksevich on yesterday morning, and she believes that they are going to go with the goalie rotation.
Nah.
So there is clear mixed signals out there
the
on
Nesson
what
crew.
Should be doing and what is going to happen. And I'm concerned. I think this is a dark cloud hanging over the Boston Bruins at a time that they don't need any, right? They need to win a playoff series. After last year, after the regular season you just had, have to win a playoff series. And so having this dark cloud over you of uncertainty is horrendous. Like, this is not good. You need to make it clear what you're doing. You need to identify exactly, we're going to the goalie rotation. Swayman's game one, Omar game two, every other game. Or you need to be like, yep, Swayman's our guy. He's starting. He kicked Toronto's ass all year. He's our goalie. He's our one.
If I'm the goalie that's not getting picked, I'm just like,
What are we doing? If I'm Linus Hallmark, I could have been in Los Angeles. I could have been out of here.
Yeah, but can he? Yeah. So with that, is he allowed to be mad if he doesn't get chosen to be the like if they go with one goalie and he's not the guy? That's his fault. They wanted to trade him. They wanted to send him to a team that could have been in the playoffs, and he would have been starting there, and then they wouldn't have had this issue. So, but he nixed it.
But
so
they still rotated after the fact, though. Like, they could have just turned around and said health, right? I mean, it maintains health, but I mean, there's a way to do it where you're still getting like, you know, 65% of the play,
sure.
and they're getting the other 35 or whatever. Instead of like, well, you know, this is awkward, so we're just going to keep things going as they are. Like, look, I get it. It's not an ideal situation to have, but again, you got two goaltenders that can both win a game for you. You have an opponent that historically is ripe for the picking. Nothing makes me happier than watching sad Toronto Maple Leafs.
All those idiots gathered in the town square.
This is our year, and then nope, it's not.
They won their first playoff series in like 30 years. Yeah, last
they
year.
Got out of the first round for the first time. In
and
a
we are going.
Long
I
time.
The Bruins need to just pump it, just pummel them. And keep them out of the second round again, because there is nothing that there's nothing that brings me more joy than watching sad Toronto fans.
Who wins the series?
I'm going to go with the Boston Bruins. I think the Bruins win in six.
You know what? I will. I'll tell you on that, Chime. I think Bruins in six is
shockingly enough. I think
they don't win the cup. At least get Toronto out of there.
Yep. Yeah. I think beating Toronto and then losing to Tampa Bay in the second round is where the Bruins line up.
That feels about right for this season and this organization.
You think Tampa's going to upset the Panthers?
Yes, I do. I don't believe in the Panthers. I think that it is a lot of smoke and mirrors over there. That's my thought.
There's something about these Florida.
I also cannot in good conscience. There's this thing. Do you have any people that you just like irrationally hate? And it's not that you hate. Like, I don't wish bodily harm on them, but I can't. I don't want. I can't stand looking at them.
Quite frankly, Shia,
Panthers in general.
I don't think I have a lot of thoughts in my head that would be of the rational variety. So I think everything is through a filter of irrationality. But continue.
So there are just a couple people in my life. For example, one of them, Orlando Bloom. I irrationally despise Orlando Bloom.
He's in your life.
No. Just like any time I see him, I'm just, ugh. Like, I just, you have that guttural reaction.
No reason at all.
Stinks. I hate him. And on that list is Matthew Tkachuk. I get the, like, the, you know, you get that, like, the, ugh, feeling.
By design.
Like, it just, your shoulders, the cringe. Every time I see him. Every time I see him chewing on that stupid mouthpiece, all I want to do is punch.
I'm like Steph
punch
Curry.
The screen. Anyway, 617-779-7937. Are you worried about the Boston Bruins against the Toronto Maple Leafs as they get their playoff series underway tonight at the Garden? Puck drop for that one is at 8. Me and Ryan are going to talk about the Boston Celtics and their matchup with the Heat coming up next.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's called Switch. Let's get it going. Hey, turn it up for Andy. Turn around
now. Turn it up for Andy. This is the WEEI producer show right here on Boston Sports Original. WEEI, Shime and Garvin with you on this rainy Saturday morning. We've talked Patriots, we've talked Bruins, but now it's time to get to your playoff bound Boston Celtics. They take on the Miami Heat tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Last night in the play-in game, as time was winding down, you could hear Heat fans chanting, "We want Boston." Ryan, I ask you simply, I think I know where you stand. Are you afraid
that can help a young player grow?
There it is. We want Boston. Are you afraid of a Jimmy Butler-less Miami Heat?
No. Oh, my God. We only have like a couple minutes to do this, which is fine because this time next week, I'm sure we're going to be heavy on the draft. But don't worry, Celtics fans. We'll have plenty of time to unpack this series in the time that it deserves, because they will only have played two games by the time that we get to this time next week. Thank you, the NBA.
obviously, if you've been listening to me for any amount of time, you know that I have really zero appreciation for Jimmy Butler, the Miami Heat,
zero respect,
the Miami Heat organization, hashtag Heat culture, and anything that has to do with it. First of all, producing the show that I do, Jones and Mego, with Arcan, and having to listen to those babies cry about Jimmy Butler and cry about the Miami Heat all year. It was not fun for me. Yes, they upset you last year. I get it. If you still have some damage for that, cry into a pillow and get over it. Because I'll phrase it like this, Shime. You can help me out with this. Do you think the Celtics are better this year than they were last year?
Yes.
Okay. That's all you need to know. That is literally all you need to know.
Oh, and the Miami Heat don't have Jimmy Butler.
Heat are worse, they had him.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Even if Jimmy Butler was playing, it wouldn't make a difference. They are a significantly worse team than they were last year.
And the books would agree with you. The Celtics are 13-point favorites over the Miami Heat. The next closest team, like in terms of being a big favorite, would be the Thunder over the Pelicans at 8.5.
It is, and I've watched plenty of Miami Heat basketball this year. Not just when the Celtics swept them in 3 games, but I've watched enough bad basketball. Like, they are like those old Pistons, Bad Boys Pistons teams. The only thing is they got the hardware to back it up and the Hall of Famers to go along with it. The Miami Heat do not and will not have a championship or a Hall of Famer to ever grace that group as it is currently constituted. What was the stat that I saw last night that was... Oh, they're 14-1. Shime, you know they're 14-1, the Miami Heat, when they hold the team to under 100 points. Scary, right? Oh, I bet they do that. You know how many times this year the Celtics have scored less than 100 points?
Three
times.
Whoa!
Three times. Yes, Joe Braverman, 3 times this year the Celtics have scored under 100 points. And just to outdo the Heat a little bit, the Celtics are 15-0 when holding teams to under 100 points. You know how you know? Okay,
you're a hoophead.
We will. Thank you. I appreciate that, Scal. When we revisit this, this is all you need to know. This is how the Celtics can absolutely not lose to the Heat. Don't give up a 17-2 run like the Chicago Bulls did. That's it. That's it.
Because there were times I was watching the Heat being like, look at how close Chicago is. What are you doing?
The Heat show up and play the game they played last night against the Boston Celtics tomorrow, they will lose by 20 points.
They are going to get run out of the building.
Bam, he has had a down year. I don't think he can do it by himself. Duncan Robinson, Gabe Vincent, the guys that you are not
Tyler Duncan Hero.
Max Strus and Gabe Vincent, those guys who killed you last year, are gone. Max Strus is playing for a team that is slightly better, and I do mean slightly better, than the Heat. He's on Cleveland. And Gabe Vincent just made his return a couple weeks ago for the Lakers. Tyler Hero is Sam Hauser with handles, and that is it. He will not win anything for you. If I am being completely objective, maybe a game that the Miami Heat
so
won.
So you think that
just based solely on the scheduling alone, with the amount of time between game 1 and 2 and game 2 and 3, that could be it. The fact that the Celtics haven't played meaningful basketball in a month might sneak up on them. But if you are a Celtics fan and you've got the heebie-jeebies about what they did to you last year, get over that. Because this Celtics team is a wagon, and that Heat team struggles, and I mean struggles, to score 100 points. You have nothing to worry about.
So we got to get out of here for Ken and Curtis real quick. What's your prediction on the series? Sweep or the Miami Heat get one?
Sweep.
All right.
You're saying the series will be over by the time we reconvene?
No, because they only play like two games by then. They play their third game next Saturday. It's stupid.
But yes, Sunday, Wednesday, Saturday, game 3 in Miami.
The Celtics will be up 2-0 heading into their third game when we're on the air next. Coming up next right here on WEEI, it's Ken and Curtis. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning to the Producer Show. Enjoy your rainy Saturday.
Play up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.